Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The Microsoft IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Getting over a little bit of a cold. So if you hear me coughing in the background or getting nice and deep and throaty on the voice side, you'll know what's going on there.
All right. So if I hear that, I'll just keep talking to fill up the dead air.
Yeah. No, I'm just slurping down tea and Halls. So it's okay.
All right. I'm on my second cup of coffee, a little bit into my second cup. So I'm doing good. We were all sick last week. So hopefully we got it all out of the way before Christmas, New Year's, all of that hits.
One can only hope. Speaking of sick, you know what's really sick?
What's really sick?
It's really sick that we're going to be talking about news again.
It doesn't slow down. I thought maybe with December, I'd have fewer news things to talk about. Who was I kidding?
Well, let's go ahead and get into it because, once again, there's a bunch here.
All right. We should come up with some way just to publish our show notes from the news so people can see how much of what we put in here we actually talk about.
You don't want to give away all the keys.
Yeah. Okay. Or they could just go browse it. Then we don't have to talk about it as much.
And there you go.
All right. So, do you have one you want to start off with? Do you want me to start off with one?
Let's start off with some of the Flow stuff since, you know, we talked Flow last week with John. Let's go ahead and talk about what's going on there. So Flow has some new connectors and some new capabilities when it comes to SharePoint over the course of the last couple weeks. So some of those now are you have access to manage metadata, including the ability to interact with managed metadata within SharePoint lists. You can do things like appends. So if you have multiple values in a list and you need to like pop onto an array, easy enough, like go ahead, push, pop, do what you need to do. That's about it, right? Being able to get access to that taxonomy column. And then also the new Flow launch panel. So having the ability to launch your flows and collect information from users prior to Flow execution. So if there's some type of input that's required, they need to select a value, enter a value, a string, things like that, all sitting there and ready to go.
All right. Some nice Flow ones there. And then we had one more because I was kind of not paying attention and broke these up. There's also some Flow analytics that are available now. So me, as an admin, can go in now and see all my Flow analytics across my tenant, right?
Ha ha ha, no. You as a user could go in and see your Flow analytics, but admin analytics would be something that, you know, they're still thinking about. So there is a new ability for users to go in and view things like total runs, number of flows run. You can even see trends across those runs from flows that you have executed. To be able to do that, you do require a Flow P2 license because let's gate that nice nifty feature. And like I said, nothing admin based there because that would make too much sense. So it is all users all the way first.
All right. That makes lots of sense because why would I as an admin want to have any insight into how many flows are running and where I am with my quota and all of that?
It won't matter when you upgrade all your users to P2s and you get that way higher execution count. You know, once everybody's got 15,000 executions a month, you're all set.
That's a lot of flows.
Just go consume some more and it'll be fine.
Another one, we don't need to dive into this one a lot. This is more publicity from Microsoft, is that OneDrive was recognized as a Forrester Wave leader in enterprise file sync and share.
Ooh, you know who else was recognized as a Forrester Wave leader in enterprise file sync and share on the same exact day?
I did not look.
Box. Google.
Google? Dropbox.
Yeah, Google.
So, all right.
Yeah. So they both had their press releases that came out at exactly the same time, and they both popped up in my feed reader, like one after the other, which I thought was just, you know, a nice juxtaposition to see them coming out like this. So, you know, hey, if you want to have an EFSS leader, you can go with Microsoft or Google. They will both gladly tell you that they're there.
And I think it is good. I mean, I've been using OneDrive for a long time. It definitely had its issues in the past. I'm sure some people still have issues with it from what I've heard. Personally, I've been using it ever since the Next-Gen Sync client came out. It's been really solid for me. I had a few issues with the initial release on my Mac where crash, it wouldn't sign me back in. Sometimes I still have an issue, very rarely, maybe once every 3 or 4 months, where I go to reboot my computer, log back in, and it doesn't launch on login. But from a whole sync perspective, all of that, it really has been solid for me. I think Microsoft's continuing to do a good job with that. They recognized a bunch of their maybe failures, we could call them, early on, and they've really worked to correct those, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think one of the nice things will be once that reliance on the legacy sync client disappears. So for organizations, hopefully, when they talk more about SharePoint 2019 here, you'll have the ability to like sync just through the new client, and you won't have the whole like one drive, two drive, three drive thing. You'll be back to just one drive and two drive, and that simplifies the plane and keeps it all in the same client, which will be really nice just from an admin and deployment perspective.
Yeah, having to run both OneDrive and Groove right now, to if you are doing some type of environment where you have OneDrive in the cloud and you still want to sync like team documents in an on-prem environment, if you're in some type of hybrid scenario, they really do need to work to get that to just a single client.
Yeah, someday.
Yeah, can only hope. Another one, shortly, I don't have it in my tenant yet, but you'll be able to create news from a SharePoint Online homepage. So this is not like the homepage of a site, but in Office 365, if you go up to your waffle and click on SharePoint, which is no longer a tile, but the SharePoint link in the new app launcher experience, it's that page where it shows you your favorite groups, your favorite sites, your recently visited sites, bubbles up news from the different sites. In the near future, they're gradually rolling it out to first release in December. Between December and January, it's coming to first release, and then it'll come to everybody else. But now you'll have a Create News button right next to the Create Site button. And this will bring you into a flyout pane where if you have some news, you want to publish some news, it gives you that interface to publish that new news, to put it out there for your users right from that SharePoint Online homepage. So now if you, instead of having to browse to one of your team sites or one of your communication sites to post a new news article, it sounds like you'll be able to do it just right from that SharePoint homepage and SharePoint Online.
Yeah, so they also have a capability that's coming to when you are in those sites and you're authoring things and maybe you accidentally start out by creating a regular page and you did in fact want it to be news, now you'll have the option to convert it into a news page right there. They're very much pushing that forward. I think as they continue to light up features in the mobile applications, so push alerts for news, whether they are tenant-wide or site-to-site like they are now, it's really all starting to kind of come together nicely if you think about it as having a nice mechanism to go ahead and push things out that hopefully people will actually see.
Yeah, and there's another one sticking in the SharePoint vein with the site scripts and custom site designs. Do you want to dive into this one? Or do you want me to take this one?
We can both take this one. So I think this is really good. So they talked about this back at Ignite, some of the new site designs and things that would be coming. So now from our perspective, from a deployment side, we get access to a central tenant level gallery. And any of those designs that are pushed to that gallery can be used within the tenant, right? So that's for both team sites and communication sites and kind of hopefully whatever kind of sites come out after that. And they also have this new custom script capability, which is all around being able to bootstrap your sites. So in the past, where maybe I had a PowerShell script or I had a workflow or something else like that, now I can actually pin that into script-based logic directly with the template and just have everything spun off up at user creation time. So as organizations look to have more rigor and control and governance over not only their look and feel, but also the features that are available in those SharePoint sites, because that's been something that's missing in, you know, Office 365 and SharePoint Online for a long time now. Now we're starting to get some of those capabilities back, which won't bring direct parity with on-prem, but it brings some of that feature set over.
This one's an interesting one. We'll link to the blog post where they talk about this, but there's a lot of good information in here. Interesting. I wonder too how much of this they kind of had to do before they released the whole hub sites. because they did announce that with those hub sites, it would give all those site collections that get joined to that hub site a unified design, look, and feel. You kind of need a tenant-level gallery to be able to do that, I would think, so you have a central place. But this even dives into how with some of these scripts and PNP provisioning, you can tie it into Flow. So we're going to go back into Flow some more. A little bit here where one of the actions that you can do with these site scripts is to trigger a flow that would allow you to create some more custom actions beyond what you can do natively in these site scripts. So if you want to go tie it into like Azure Automation or Azure Functions to do a bunch of things with the whole provisioning, you can use flow in these scripts and the site designs to accomplish all of that. So a lot of good stuff here. One thing to take note of with all of this is if you are wanting to push out some of these scripts and site designs and all of that, there is no GUI to actually do it right now. So you either have to use REST or PowerShell. Again, they talk about this in this blog post as well on how to use either REST or PowerShell to actually work with those site designs and scripts to get them into that tenant gallery for use.
I think where they've kind of targeted this, so one of the interesting things, so when we say script, they're not really scripts, they're just JSON configuration templates that are being, you know, so it's just declaratively going against a SharePoint site. So today they're kind of in the context of new sites and bootstrapping. They've also mentioned in the announcements that one of the things that's going to come to that is not only kind of before creation, but also after creation. So being able to go back and get kind of consistent stamping across your environment, right? So there's that piece. They're still working on all of this. So it is currently in preview. It is not supported for production, any of that kind of stuff. If you go and read the docs for it, everything will tell you that everything's in preview, subject to change, and wholly unsupported for use in production environments. So just because you do have access to this, like, keep in mind, it's going to be a moving target over the next couple of months while they solidify it.
I think it's good. I'm excited to play with this one. I haven't had a chance to yet, but hopefully soon.
Can't wait. Let's get you in there and doing some CSS and JavaScript and, you know, all those good things that you really love.
Well, I just want to do the provisioning stuff for the site scripting. I'll let somebody else do the whole design aspect of it.
So you can do that part all today, right? Like, you're fine. Just go out to PMP, use the provisioning engine, and you're all set.
Yeah. Anyways, on to more news.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about OneDrive and SharePoint Online and some things that are going on there. So they are lighting up some OCR capabilities, so optical character recognition within files that are stored in SharePoint and OneDrive for Business, right? Because it's all just SharePoint at the end of the day. So if you think about, you know, maybe you are somebody who travels on the road and, you know, you need to store your pictures or your receipts so you have them later, what you can do today is you can take those receipts and you can kind of just scan them and upload them straight through OneDrive, but you couldn't really search for it, right? If I was sitting at a particular hotel or a particular location, right? Like, I go to New York City. So now what I can do is I can go ahead and snap that picture really quick. The Office Lens capability is built into the OneDrive apps right now on mobile. Go ahead and snap those, upload them, and they will be OCR'd and searchable within just a few minutes, which is really pretty sweet. So they're getting all set to finalize this rollout by the end of this calendar year. So not too much more to go now. And it's going to be available across everything. So any kind of that photo-based intelligence, whether it's like an auto tag, an OCR, additional metadata from photos, it's going to be all sitting there ready to go. And that's applicable not just to your OneDrive, but to your SharePoint Online sites as well.
It's nice to see, again, they keep adding more of this AI type stuff, leveraging, I'm going to guess, a lot of the Azure services on the back end for this one around some of the image recognition, that type of functionality that they have already in Azure, and leverage that to help with that search with the auto tagging feature that's there, with all of that type of thing. I know you see different news articles from Microsoft about how they're trying to bring all of that stuff in. There was one, can't remember if it was last month or this month, about the whole resume builder with LinkedIn, and I think they were using some of the AI stuff there. it's getting cool to see how they're bringing a lot of the Azure services into Office 365 to keep improving Office 365.
Slowly, but surely, right? Like it's all kind of starting to come together. And I think realistically, like if you are embedded in these platforms and you already trust these platforms, you know, having all these new feature sets just makes it way easier to stay sticky and continue to consume services in there. So it might have been a tall order in the past to tell your users to use OneNote so that you could have those OCR and search capabilities. And now it's like, you don't even need to use that tool anymore, right? Just go ahead and upload your stuff, whether it's from your desktop, a mobile device, whatever it happens to be, and you're good to go.
Yeah. So another one, the Yammer web part. This one's exciting.
Yammer's still a thing?
Apparently, at least for this year. I don't know. We've got another year. I feel like every year someone predicts that the next year Yammer will die. And every year it's still around.
Before you do, so Yammer was down earlier this week. And I was like, my tongue was bleeding. My fingers were like hurting. Like I really just wanted to go on Twitter and say like, good, they finally shut it off. So we're done with it. But no, unfortunately, they fixed it and brought it back.
Yeah. And now they have the Yammer web part for SharePoint Online.
Ooh, what's that do?
What's this do? It shows Yammer in SharePoint.
You mean? Ooh, yeah. Ooh, boy. Ooh.
I can see Yammer conversations now in SharePoint.
I got chills. They're multiplying.
Yeah. No, that's your cold. So, anyways, this one is gradually rolling out.
All right. So I have coffee all over my keyboard now. That was great.
Sorry. Hopefully it keeps working. At least you don't need your keyboard to talk. Anyways, this was one that they announced back in September at the Ignite conference, I think was where they actually announced it in September, that they were coming out with a new modern web part for Yammer in SharePoint. It's now being slowly rolled out. So you can add it to your web parts. It looks like it's natively mobile. It'll surface top conversations in SharePoint Online, blah, 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 blah. You can go play with it. Once you get it, it is gradually rolling out to targeted release customers.
So that first release,
yes.
Just the new nomenclature.
I was going to say, which could bring us to our next news topic, because I really don't need to talk about Yammer anymore, is that they have renamed all of these channels. So as you start looking at these and you're used to seeing first release or, well, you had the first release to the whole domain, you had first release to select users. All of that has now changed to targeted release and worldwide standard release. And then I know there's also something, I'm scanning it right now, and I can't remember it off the top of my head, for if you're just pushing it out to users. Because you can still do the whole first release thing. You can still do first release to select users. But all of this nomenclature has now changed.
Yeah, effectively, it's just changing the verbiage, but it's not changing anything with cadence or functionality, right? So you're kind of all set and ready to go based on that. It's all in all, just a change in the wording. You know, just kind of prepare yourself for it because it is coming.
Yeah, so as you read stuff, you'll see some of this new nomenclature out there. So just so you don't get confused, be aware that it's coming. Oh, it's targeted release for selected users, targeted release for entire organization. You still have your standard releases. So we'll link to this blog article. You can go see it. Keep it handy so as you read things, you can go back and reference it at first to see how the new terminology ties in with the old terminology.
Excellent. So one of the interesting things is where people are going to start reading articles like that is going to be changing in a meaningful way too, right?
So I would say I kind of saw this coming because I kept seeing this URL pop up. I didn't realize what they were actually doing. So TechNet is no longer going to be at a TechNet URL. All of TechNet is now going to live on docs.microsoft.com. So this is the new home for all the Microsoft technical documentation, API references, code examples, tutorials, everything for both devs and IT pros. So the one thing they say here is it's TechNet. They don't mention MSDN. I don't know. So correct me if I'm wrong. In my head, MSDN was always the developer documentation and TechNet was always the IT pro stuff. This article kind of makes it sound like they're both all just coming together under docs.microsoft.
I think over time, they probably will. So one of the things that Microsoft has been doing with its documentation platforms is it's built a system where documentation can be authored and maintained in GitHub repositories, and then kind of rendered out within their content management system on the other side. So that brings some interesting capabilities, right? Because now everything's in a version control and we can do like pull requests and merges and all sorts of cool things. So they've had that for Azure for a long time. They started bringing over Office 365 documentation, things like Intune and MDM docs started out over in that new platform. So this is just continued consolidation of the platform over there. So if you think about it from like our end, from an end user side, it's really sweet because I know I've done, you know, a number of like fixes and edits to things in like Azure Docs over time. So now as you're going through that, those documentation, you see like, hey, it's wrong. You literally just go up to the top of the page, you hit edit, and you're just brought into GitHub and you start editing and you save. And then the team on the other side sees it. They can merge it in. They can decide whether it's actually a valid request, what it is, and be able to push it through. So this should lead to way better documentation in general for everybody. I think it'll take time to get all those platforms over there, but I wouldn't be surprised if even things like portions of MSDN come over. Some of that stuff's auto-generated. Some of it stuff's manual, right? Anything that's manual totally is going to end up living in this platform, I'd imagine.
So again, it's going to be a process. They're hoping to have it completed by the end of June of next year. So you're looking like 6 or 7 months out. They do say that even though content's moving, links should all continue to work. So I'm guessing this is a massive effort on the redirect front to get everything redirecting to the right spot from TechNet to docs.microsoft.com. But yeah, it's happening. Be ready for it.
It's happening.
It's coming next year.
One of those ones we should probably talk about is sharing in Microsoft Forms. You want to tell people a little bit about that one?
Sure. So this is another new one that it's an update to how sharing currently works in Forms. So again, just as a reminder, if you're listening to this, this is Microsoft Forms where you can do quizzes and polls and surveys and all of that. It is not the InfoPath replacement next version. InfoPath equals Power Apps. Microsoft Forms equals surveys, quizzes, all of that. Previously, you had 4 sharing options for Forms. So you could share to get responses, you could share for collaboration as a template, or share a summary of the results. These were currently all links that were both internal and external. There really was no differentiation. There was no limit to say, hey, I want my users to be able to use Forms for surveys and all of that, but I only want it to stay internally. I don't want my users to be able to share these externally. This update to sharing in Forms now lets you actually turn off external sharing for all 4 of those types of links. So if you're in your Office 365 tenant, you can go over to the settings, the services and add-ins, Microsoft Forms, and then turn off that ability to send a form, to share a form, or share it as a template, share the results with anybody outside your organization. So if this was something you were concerned about before, was users using this just to create all kinds of surveys and send them out, admins, you can breathe easy now. This is coming, so you can block it and keep it all internal. This is another one that's going out to targeted release organizations right now. They should have it all rolled out by the end of December. So come the new year, when you want to send out employee survey forms or something, you should be able to use this tool and force them to stay internal if you are on targeted release. They don't have any updates here for a time frame for general availability. But again, another nice admin feature that we're getting to kind of help us control some of that sharing a little bit more in Office 365.
Awesome. Imagine that, an admin control.
I know.
Who knew?
Maybe we should tell the Microsoft Forms teams about that for, never mind. We're not going to go down that rabbit hole again. Another one. So this is one I kind of like because I'm a Mac guy, and I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this because Waldeck, if you're listening, we're coming for you. But he has started building out a CLI for Office 365. So this is cross-platform command line terminal interface for working with Office 365. So it works on Mac, Windows, Linux. We'll throw some links out there so you can go check it out on GitHub. It's in the very beginning stages. They don't have a ton of functionality there yet. But again, this is something he's been working on for a while. I know originally AC was also working on this with him. So it would be really good to get one or even both of those guys on here to talk about this in more detail, because we could do a whole episode just on this one. But again, we'll put some links out there. Go check it out. It's a cool project that he started working on.
If people are familiar with things like the Azure CLI, like think the equivalent kind of thing, right? And it'd be super sweet. I think one of the things they've talked about doing is trying to get this like, hey, let's build it out enough on the community side that maybe Microsoft can pick it up. And if you think about having a world where you've got like Azure Cloud Shell, right? And being able to select like PowerShell or CLI, wouldn't it be great if you could do that just inside the Office 365 Admin Center and already be authenticated to your services and all that fun kind of stuff? Yeah. So there's a really nice, like, fun little world that could come about from some of that.
Exactly. All right. We're getting close to our time. Well, we rambled a little bit at the beginning too. What do you want to talk about? You pick a news article now, because once again, we have more than we're going to be able to get through in this 30 minutes.
Let's talk a little bit about sign-in experience. So Microsoft rolled out a new sign-in experience. So it's kind of a multi-step flow now for users to come through the public sign-in, where you have one form to input your username, another form to input your password, and another form to say, hey, you know, do you use this device a bunch? Should we ask you less if you need to sign in? So that changed the look and feel of sign-in pages. Hopefully anybody that had customized their Azure AD logins had gone ahead and made those updates and run everything through. So that's all out there. Users used to have the ability to back that out. There was a little link in there that said, hey, let's go ahead and opt out. That link is no longer there now that this experience is quote unquote fully baked and live and ready to go. So that's kind of one thing is hopefully you prepared your users. If you didn't, please like educate them and let them know it's coming. And for customers that do federate, and particularly if you federate with things like ADFS, there are options out there to make ADFS match that experience as well, to go ahead and customize the login flow on that side as well. So I would encourage anybody, we'll put some links in the show notes to some of the ADFS help stuff, to go ahead and take a look at that and see if that makes sense for them. I'm generally a big proponent of making things look the same on both sides as much as we can, right? If I do happen to have cloud-only users, or like say I have like that like break the glass account for like a cloud-only admin, I want it to look the same as my on-prem stuff, so everybody knows it's all been configured and they're in the right place and ready to go.
Again, more improvements, always changing, but by and large, seems like it's all for the good. So there's one more. We're going to try to hit this really quick because we were talking about this beforehand. I think this conversation came up when we were at the Live 360 conference too, on the whole focused inbox versus clutter. So there was an announcement that Microsoft put out there that focused inbox, it's now rolled out. It's everywhere. They wanted to share plans for clutter. I actually thought clutter was already turned off.
Oh, I thought exactly the same thing, right? Like, I think there's a lot of us that are guilty of this one.
Right. There was that whole conversation, I think it was at Live 360, where somebody said, hey, messages still go to clutter. And a bunch of us were like, no, it shouldn't. It's off. It's dead. Focused inbox is there. Clutter is gone. Apparently not. So focused inbox is there. It is the replacement for clutter, but clutter is still there. It's still working. They actually use the same algorithms for sorting messages. There's no changing to how that email is classified, but it just goes to focused inbox versus clutter. Apparently, clutter is still available to Office 365 customers and will be until January 31 of 2020. So clutter will eventually be retired in another 2 years. The feature is turned off by default for new users, and it's deactivated if it's hardly ever used. They say extremely low usage, being less than 12 emails per month being moved to clutter. But if it gets disabled because of it, you can re-enable clutter at any time if you want to. So clutter is still there. It's still going to be around until 2020. It will go away. But for those of you that thought clutter was dead and were confused about why emails were still going to clutter, it is actually still on.
Yay!
Yeah. And with that, hopefully we stayed right around 30 minutes, but we should probably wrap up.
All right, man. Sounds good. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thank you, Scott. We'll talk to you again next week. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.